Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Thank you, Father, for this morning, this cold January morning, and God, we're grateful for everyone who's made it. We pray your blessing upon the service. May we hear from heaven today. May our ears be open and our hearts be open to hear your voice and to hear the word of God and apply it to our own lives. God, build us into the people we need to be and help us to become the church that we are to be here in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. And Lord, above all, thank you for Calvary. If there's someone here that isn't born again, isn't truly saved, we ask that you'd help them to hear the Holy Spirit today speak to their hearts and call them to the Savior, the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Now please bless this service in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us. It's a great January crowd, 20 below zero this morning. Did anybody have anything colder than 20 below zero? That probably is it. We had 19 below, 20 below, 16 below in a couple places. And your car started. You were able to, you made the effort, and you were able to get to church. God bless you. Sun is shining. Could be horizontal snow, but it's not. God is good to us, even here in the Upper Peninsula, killing all the bugs, all the snakes, all the cockroaches. You know, these are the kind of days, these are the reasons we don't have cockroaches in the Eastern Upper Peninsula. Be thankful. Be thankful, all right?
Get your Bibles open to Luke in chapter number 18. Luke chapter 18. I'm tempted to take my phone out here since I don't have my reading glasses. Put it on my phone and read it off of there. I just get Pastor riled up, ready to preach that way. That better? But Luke chapter 18, we're starting verse 10. And just read about the Pharisee and the publican and their prayer. The Bible says in Luke 18:10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Father, this morning we humbly come before you and ask that you would take over in the service now, and Lord, it only would be preached what you want preached this morning. God, we ask that you'd help us all to examine our hearts as individuals, to know that we are in the faith. And God in heaven, we pray if there's someone here that isn't born again, they'd get saved. If there's someone here that is self-deceived and they're not saved, Lord Jesus, would you show them that this morning so they don't have to go to hell one day? Lord, I pray that there aren't people here, and chances are there are in a crowd this size. Hundreds of people here this morning. And God, there's probably a few folk here this morning that think they're probably going to heaven, but they're not. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would arrest their attention, and this morning you would speak to their heart and speak to our heart as well. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Matthew in chapter 13, if you would turn back there, I want to preach one of the parables. Jesus in chapter 13 and the following chapters, he preaches seven parables right in a row, four on the seashore and I think three in the house, if I remember rightly. And I want to preach one of those parables this morning and trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I want to preach. I would call this a message of balance. Of balance. Because we all know, and I preach it all the time, we're saved by grace. We're not saved by good works. We all understand that Jesus is the only, absolute, only Savior. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We understand that. But the truth is, and Jesus taught his disciples this, in every crowd, in the crowd of people that call themselves Christians, there are those that are phony, that are not for real. Therefore, this message this morning, this parable, that I believe God led me to during the week, and I'm trusting God will just take over in the message. Salvation, I want to start out by saying this, salvation's not hard. You all know that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus Christ is not a deceiver. Let me just start the message out by saying this. If you get tricked and you go to hell, it isn't because Christ tricked you. All he requires of you is a heart that calls out to God in repentance. That's all he requires. Confession is made with the mouth. Believing is in the heart. You trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're born into the family of God. I guarantee you, you're not going to get to heaven standing at the gate and wondering whether you're going to get to heaven or not, and the angel's going to say, what's the magic word? Or you did not know the magic word when you were here on this earth. You got tricked. You're tricked. You go to hell. That's not how it works. Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, I am the living water. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Over 400 times in the Word of God, you get born again, you get entrance into heaven because you get born again, and you get born again by meaning business with God, repenting of your sin, and from your heart calling out and asking for the Savior. It's that simple. But the truth is, there are people that think they're in the family of God, and they trusted a prayer. They didn't trust Jesus. They trusted mom. They didn't trust Jesus. I might be describing you this morning, and it's healthy for all of us to examine our hearts to know whether we be in the faith. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. And I'm not telling you you can lose your salvation. You can't. If you genuinely got born again, whenever it was, you genuinely called upon Christ, then you are saved. You read your Bible, you will understand that. You're in. You belong to God. The danger is you didn't mean it. The danger is you thought that tricky little prayer saved you. And the prayer does not save. The Savior saves. You trust Christ. That explains a lot today in the world. Let's go to Matthew 13. Let me read the first couple of verses, and then we're going to skip ahead. I'm going to say something about parables, and I want to get to the parable of the tares. T-A-R-E-S. The same day when Jesus, verse 1, out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables. And then he goes ahead and he starts with the parable of the soils, of the sower. Verse 10, skip on down there. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. All right. So the disciples asked, why are you talking in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Jesus spoke, and he was in Israel at the time, and the Jews, they were thinking the kingdom was coming. That's why this is called a kingdom parable. And so Jesus spoke in parables so that the Pharisees and the others who were all wrapped up in their religionity, they really didn't understand. But those that would come to Christ, they did understand. And he explained the meaning of the parables to them. He would reveal himself at Mount Calvary. Man, he would reveal himself as the Savior of the world. But at this point, He spoke in parables. Let me read on here. Verse 12, and whosoever hath, verse 13, I'm sorry. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see not, And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand, just like a lot of people in church today, right? And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. They have no spiritual understanding, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. They willingly closed their eyes to the truth. They were willingly ignorant of the truth. Therefore, Jesus spoke in parables. Now, he mentions four parables here. And then, but the parable I want to preach on this morning is found in verses 24 through 30. And I would say this again is a message of balance. We need to advance the cause of Christ. We need to be all out, full-throated, evangelistic in our endeavors. We are to fulfill the Great Commission. And the first and major step of the Great Commission is evangelism. For without evangelism, there can be no discipleship. You're discipling lost people. That's bad news. There'll be no baptism because you're baptizing lost people. So evangelism, it's got to be all out, all the time, all the way, beside all waters. We're to sow the seed. We're to cast our bread upon the waters. We're to do all we can at winning this world for Christ. But understand, along the way, I remember hearing on tape, because I'm not old enough to have actually heard Dr. Bob Jones Sr. preach at the turn of the 19th into the 20th century. In the early part of the 20th century, he was an all-out, big-time, Bible-thumping evangelist for the cause of Christ, a fundamentalist. He loved the Word of God, led thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people to Christ. And I heard him say this by way of a recording. He said, I understand that on the evangelistic trail, there's a certain amount of loss. He said, went on to explain it, some people walk the aisle and they aren't getting born again. And that troubled me. That troubles me yet today. That people could hear the gospel and kind of go through some religious motions and never truly be converted. Never truly be born again. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. By the way, every war has some soldiers that wear the enemy's uniform. It's always been that way. Although he's talking to Israel here, there's a direct application to the church. There are people that claim to be part of the Church of Jesus Christ, and they're not. I hope that doesn't describe any of my loved ones. I pray that doesn't describe any of my grandchildren. I pray that doesn't describe anybody at Fundamental Baptist Church, but it might. Jesus said here in verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And the field is the word, the world. And the good seed is the word, the gospel. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. That word tare is actually the word darnel. It is fake wheat. Here's the characteristics of darnel, of tare. As the wheat is growing, it looks like wheat. As it matures, it looks like wheat. Not until it comes to harvest time does it expose itself, because it turns black and its head hangs low. But right up until the time of harvest, the tares look like wheat. The hypocrite looks like the real McCoy. The phony Christian looks like they're saved because they can play a game. They know religious words, know the words to the songs in the hymnal, have some Bible memorized, can wear Christian clothes, can carry a King James Bible, and still not be born again. Everybody in their family be saved, but they're not. They have a religion. and they don't have Christ, I would say to you this morning, as you examine your faith, your heart, and I examine my heart, those that are fakes know it. God's Spirit does not bear witness with their spirit. They know they're as phony as a $3 bill. They know that what they have is not real. They get up, they come to church Sunday morning, they come with the family, they sit in the pew, they listen to the same preaching everybody else listens to, they sing the same songs. They go through they've gotten really callous. They can go through an altar call and never even think about their soul. And they leave. And one day, we'll come to a screaming halt in hell. Oh, don't let that be the case. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And he went his way. Hold that thought. I'm going to come back to it. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? The devil joins the church. People are being lost, and the unsaved and the saved being discipled together, learning the same language, eating in the same restaurants, wearing the same clothes. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The devil joined the church. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and verse 14. How about you turn over there? 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. I want to say this again. We're saved by grace. I preach the gospel of grace here. We preach the gospel of grace here every Sunday. And whosoever will may come. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But some people just kind of giggle their way through it. They're not really born again. And I'll say another thing. I heard an old preacher say this when I was a teenager. It stuck. He said, if a preacher can talk you out of your salvation, you're probably not saved. You probably didn't get it. Your faith is either in Christ or in something else. The devil joins the church, verse 13 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. For such are false apostles and deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Man, the darnel, the hypocrites, the phony Christians, it's all going to be manifested at the harvest, not before. See, you can fool the preacher. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool the preacher, but you'll never fool God. Never. If your name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to hear these words, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. Say, oh, we did all kinds of good works. Man, I was in church all of the time. I was a preacher. I prophesied. That's out of Matthew in chapter 7. And Jesus said, I never knew you. You were tares. T-A-R-E-S. And by the way, those kind of phony Christians turn into terrors, T-E-R-R-O-R-S, in the family of God. Do a lot of damage along the way. Examine your heart. Before I go any further in this text, are you saved? Say, preacher, I remember when I prayed. That's good. That's good. I'm glad. And if you prayed it from your heart, remember, with a heart, men believeth unto righteousness. If it was real, if you meant it, it isn't like you had to grunt a certain way. It isn't like you had to say you had to pray in the old English. That's not it. It's your heart. And when you do that, then the confession is made with your mouth. I got saved. Man, I got born again. There's a change. But if you prayed a prayer and there was never a change, you say, man, I got saved when I was 6 years old. How much of a change could there be? Oh, you would know it, because the heart is desperately wicked. But if all you are is a mama called Christian, and mom maybe led you to the Lord, all right? I got that. But if all you are is a mama called Christian, you're saved, honey. You got saved back then. Oh, okay, all right. Don't deceive your children. Tares among the wheat. They were planted together. Verse 26, they progressed together. They grew together. They were discipled together. And the day is going to come. They coexist as they will coexist in the kingdom and the millennial kingdom. Hey, let me put the parable in its context so you understand. Jesus is teaching concerning the 1,000-year reign of Christ. He's saying to his disciples, in order to enter into the 1,000-year reign of Christ, by the way, you're going to be born again. As a member of the church, we're raptured, right? We're in heaven. We're going to reign with Christ during 1,000 years with our glorified bodies, resurrected bodies. But those that Israelites that come through the tribulation, they're born again. They receive Christ. Christ rescues them at Armageddon, and they enter into the 1,000-year reign of Christ after the judgment of the nations. Enter into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. They're all born again, but it's 1,000 years. They're going to have children, and their children will have children, and their children will have children. And in order to get born again, they need to trust Christ as their Savior, just like we do today during the church age. And during that time, there'll be tares among the wheat. And God will sort them out at the harvest. Tares will coexist with believers in the 1,000-year kingdom. And tares coexist with God's children during the church age. Good application. Let's read on. Verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Goes on and he speaks another parable here, another couple of parables, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. And Jesus, verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him saying, maybe we don't understand, Jesus. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Matthew in chapter 7. Matthew in chapter 7. 2 Peter 1:10, Peter says, brethren, make your calling and election sure. 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul said, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. There is a day of accounting coming. If you're an unbeliever, if you're Darnell, you might be somebody who goes to Maplewood Baptist Academy. You maybe graduated from Maplewood Baptist Academy, and you never got born again. Maybe all you got is religion. Daniel Webster, the guy that wrote Webster's Dictionary, high intellect, great Christian man. He said, Mr. Webster, what's the most important thought you ever had? He said, the most important thought I ever had, my personal accountability to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. As a child of God, Bema Seat. Rewards. By the way, I won't preach it this morning, but sexual sin robs you of rewards that you would have had in heaven. I'm going to preach a message real soon on this. All right? There's three texts that are crystal clear. You say, why does it name sexual sin? Because it's so prevalent today. The heart of man, all right? There's an accountability where we stand before God at the Bema seat as Christians and we're rewarded. Some will lose their inheritance, not their salvation, their inheritance, but we'll be rewarded. And then there's the great white throne. That's Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read it right now. Matthew chapter 7, where you stand before God. Listen, if you never got born again, if in your heart of hearts you never repented of your sin, not, God, forgive me of my sin. I sure enjoy that. Yeah. You know what? Not repenting of your sin, then unless that happens, you're not born again. Your name is not recorded. You say, but Dad told me I'm saved. It's God that tells you you're saved. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone. I'm not going to preach the verses. I want to read them. Listen to them. Not everyone. That's a good title for a sermon. Not everyone. That'll work in prison, Jim. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You get saved or you're going to hell. I remember one time, it was years and years ago. In fact, man, I was a kid preacher. Knocked on the door, and I started to tell somebody about Jesus. And they said, well, I know all of that, preacher, but I believe and I've lost my salvation. And you know, I know you're that one of those once you're saved, you're always saved group. And I just believe you can lose your salvation. And she quoted this verse. And I wasn't super versed. I was still in Bible college. And I remember thinking to myself, that didn't sound like she quoted that right. And I opened my Bible up, I had my New Testament with me, and I read it to her. And I said, lady, you quoted that verse wrong. She said it this way in verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I know you not. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I said, ma'am, it doesn't say I know you not. It says I never knew you. Darnell. Hypocrites. Fake wheat. The harvest is coming. You that are truly born again, we need to advance. Don't become cynical. Number one, examine yourself. Make sure you're saved. Won't take you long if you've done that before. Number two, evangelize your neighbor. You see, when you sin with another Christian, here's a thought, here's an eternal thought. Maybe that other Christian isn't a Christian. And I'm pushing them towards the fire. There's a thought. If you're here and you don't know Christ, now we had a man come this morning to receive Christ. He said, I said, man, are you born again? He said, well, I you know what? I thought I was, but I'm not sure. And so he's getting it taken care of this morning. That might describe you. Now, you don't need to walk the aisle to do that. You can take care of it. You can go right to your car. You can go downstairs into a side room. If you know what to do, do it. Receive Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sin, and God will bless you for it.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.